The federal government has announced it will extend the JobSeeker COVID supplement until the end of March next year. The scheme was scheduled to end at Christmas, but with fears growing that the economy would nosedive as soon as the supplement expired, the government has extended the lifeline. But the supplement will be reduced by $100, which means those receiving the payment will get $715 a fortnight. I spoke a little earlier with Cassandra Goldie from the Australian Council of Social Services, and I asked her if she was satisfied with the three-month extension.
This is exactly not the plan that we needed announced from the government today on JobSeeker. It ignores all the best advice from ACOS, from the business community, from the community sector more broadly, that we needed a permanent, adequate increase to JobSeeker locked in. And instead, what we've got is another cut to the income levels. Is going to happen at the end of the year, going into Christmas, the most expensive time of the year. And then again, in March, people are facing going back to that really brutal $40 a day. And so it's wrong on both levels. And we are really warning the government that if they go ahead with this plan, we are going to be facing a tsunami of financial distress going into the end of the year, as I say, at the most expensive time of the year. And we certainly have a real challenge on our hands when it comes to getting jobs back as well.
So how much do you think that cut of $100 a fortnight will affect people relying on the payment?
Well, people were already really distressed by the cuts that have already been made. As you know, Patricia, JobSeeker pre-COVID was just $40 a day. Finally, the government did absolutely the right thing and doubled the rate of JobSeeker to something more adequate. We had broad support for what the government had done. We could see that people were spending it on the essentials, on rent, on food. Retailers were reporting that they could see those dollars being spent on the essentials, helping to keep other people in jobs. And of course, now people have had a further cut to that amount just come in, where they're facing a further cut at the end of the year and then going right back to $40 a day. And so high levels of distress. I've had lots of contact from people. People are very, very worried. And of course, we know everybody says they're concerned about people's mental health. And one of the most important things you can do to protect people's mental health is to give people basic financial security. And that is not what we've got today.
When should the government put a permanent figure to the payment?
Well, it needs to be done yesterday, Patricia. It should have been done a long time ago. We've had ongoing support, you know, really clear support from so many different quarters. This is not party political. You know, it's not a left or right issue. You've got right through the business community, the union movement, the community sector. We've got all the leading economists who said, pre the budget just announced, that one of the most important things they wanted to see in the budget was a permanent, adequate increase to JobSeeker.
That's Cassandra Goldie from the Australian Council of Social Services. For more analysis, I'm joined now by Jo Masters, Chief Economist at consulting firm EY. Welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
This latest extension to the COVID JobSeeker supplement runs till the end of March. Will that be long enough for the economy and employment to recover from the pandemic?
So the honest answer is we just don't know. We've learnt a lot about the interaction between the virus and restrictions and the economy, but there's still a lot of uncertainty. And even the recent news around the vaccine, of course, could change the economic outlook. My guess is, though, that businesses are still going to be fairly nervous about the economic outlook, fairly nervous about their own ability to grow and expand, which means that at the end of March, as we roll off JobKeeper and this extension to JobSeeker, we could be facing a pretty tricky period.
I guess this largely depends on what the unemployment rate is doing in March. What's your best guess about what the jobs market will look like by then?
So we're expecting the unemployment rate to peak over the next couple of months and then very, very slowly start to come down. Now, that will reflect both how many jobs businesses create, but also how many people come back into the workforce. I think the reality is in March next year, we will still face an unemployment rate that is well above where it was before the pandemic and well above what economists call full employment. So there's going to be households that struggle if we do see an end to this additional payment for those on JobSeeker.
When the government launched the COVID supplement in April, it was $550 a fortnight, which effectively doubled the permanent JobSeeker payment. Obviously, their strategy is to bring it down gradually, right, incrementally. It's now $250 and after Christmas it will be $150. Is that the right way to do it?
I think that is. We know that the initial policy was incredibly expensive. And of course, from an economic perspective, you do need to balance supporting our most vulnerable Australians against wanting to have an incentive to work. So as businesses open back up, we want Australians to get back into work. We know that there are lots of benefits of being gainfully employed. I also wonder if this tapered approach, as you said, it's a gradual bringing down, allows the government a little bit of flexibility because of the uncertainty of how the economy will play out and how many people might need that support.
You said in the past that the government's approach to the COVID economic crisis is to generate a recovery led by the private sector. Are we seeing the private sector gear up for that challenge, or are they likely to anytime soon?
So we haven't got a lot of data that shows how businesses have responded after the October budget. We are seeing household spending remain fairly strong. I wouldn't extrapolate that, though. The support going from government into the household sector directly will actually come down quite sharply in the fourth quarter of this year and again in the second quarter of next year. In terms of business, we don't have a lot of data, but what we are seeing is jobs being lost off the payroll outside of Victoria and across industries that are not directly impacted by lockdown. So technical and professional services, for example, agriculture, construction. So from what I see, I think there's still a lot of question marks about the confidence of business to take those measures that were in the budget, things like instant asset write-off and invest and hire.
So what do you think is the solution to that? How can the government fire up the private sector?
So I think that's a really difficult one, and there is no silver bullet. I do think having as clear a path or as clear a framework for business to be able to understand changes in the economy. But at the end of the day, you know, I think when things are so uncertain and risk premium is so high, it's going to be pretty hard for businesses to want to gear up, even at very, very low interest rates, and invest. So I think we need just a bit more certainty about the economic outlook. And at the end of the day, that probably comes down to how the virus transpires and how and when we may see a vaccine.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Jo Masters is chief economist at consulting firm EY.